Well, hello and welcome once again to Ask the Expert. I am your host, Ray Lytle, and our expert this week is a returning expert, Sherry Harrison, the pediatric program coordinator for the Center for Healthy Families at Memorial Medical Center, is our guest today, and we are going to discuss the 7 ways to fuel your kid's brain. And anyone who's a parent, this is something we all need to know. And it's one of those things we worry about. It's very good we're talking about it. Sherry, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Ray. Thanks for having me on.
We are going to talk about those 7 ways. So we're ready to start numbering, and I hope people are ready to start learning. Some, I'm sure, are things that we know. Maybe we don't admit them to ourselves, whatever. But there are some things that are pretty obvious that kids need to do. So let's jump right into it. 7 ways to fuel your kid's brain. What is number one?
So I'm going to start us off on number one with starting your day with breakfast. It's kind of an old saying, a cliche saying, the most important meal of the day, but it's true, and our kids need it. Sometimes the days kind of get quick, it's rushed, we're running out of time, we're running out of the house, not grabbing something for the kids to eat, and it shows. It shows.
The first thing, the time is, you know, there are so many families where every morning, you know, your kid gets up for school, the, you know, dad's going to work, or mom's going to work, or both, whatever's going on, that the kids need to eat. It's very important. And I guess a best-case scenario would be somebody getting up and preparing some type of really nutritional, healthy, but full meal for children to eat. However, in today's day and age, unless you're worth millions and you have a full-time housekeeper, a full-time cook, that's probably not going to happen.
Right.
So give us a good example of what kind of meal can we put together for our child until they're, of course, old enough to do it for themselves in the morning before school. How do we feed the kid and still make it to school or work on time?
Sure, sure. And I think that's a valid question. Most people experience it. If you're in the hurry, you can still grab fresh fruit instead of a sugar-coated pastry. Okay. You can still grab a cup of yogurt instead of the sugar-coated cereals. You can grab a bran muffin
instead of the Hostess product.
Right. Not that we don't all love those. Right. But if we're wanting to get the kid's brain started on the right way, we're looking for nutritious options that are quick. We have a lot of patients that come into the clinic that will make the ahead of time in muffin tins, eggs, spinach, peppers, sausage, cook them the night before, and then heat them up. So you're talking 30, 45 seconds in the microwave.
The whole time to make them,
And you're making them the night before. You can still go out the door with it.
I've been doing this thing lately where I take I take a bunch of eggs and I, you know, boil them. Mm-hmm. Then after they're boiled, I put them in a little sandwich bag and put them in the fridge. When I wake up, I just go into the refrigerator and I grab my sandwich bag.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
And then I take it. I do a thing in the morning at my house. So then I take it with me to my studio in my house, and that's what I'll eat for breakfast. Now my daughter does. She's like, I'm not gonna eat a boiled egg. You know, she's going to school, but she still tries to have something, you know, it's kind of egg, just some kind of protein from the egg. But not everyone has time to do that or finds a way to do that. What's a good substitute for that?
So you can still get, there's granola bars out there.
They're protein?
Protein options, cheese, any kind of lean meat. So the eggs is a good choice. Again, the eggs ahead of time, I think, is just a good thing to have.
Right.
It doesn't take long. Make them the night before. Pop it in the microwave, and you can take it on a little plate, napkin if you need to, in the car. Take it with you as you go.
Hey, put it in one of those little Tupperware things.
Yes.
Yep. Eat it, close up the Tupperware, and at the end of the day, take it
it's
in.
Done.
You know, it might sit in your sunny car. You might want to eat all the eggs. Sit in the sunny car. It's not going to be a nice smell when you go to clean it, but still, it's a way to get something.
Sure. Protein yogurts, those are a good one to grab, too.
Mm-hmm. And kids could eat that. Mm-hmm. They could even, I don't know if they could eat it on the bus, but you could probably eat that, you know, on your way somehow.
Sure, sure. If you needed to.
Like, can I ask, is a piece of toast an acceptable breakfast for a kid?
Sure. I think it looks at your individual kid. They're all going to have different needs as far as their hunger and satiety for going through the day. So if you're talking like a whole grain piece of toast, maybe that toast isn't enough, but maybe you're adding on some peanut butter.
Right.
Maybe you're having that with a piece of fruit also.
Right.
So you're getting it kind of a little bit of angled in the balanced plate, if you will, and getting a little bit more options there.
So, because there are some kids, they will just give me a piece of toast, and you'll see them just walk out with a piece of buttered toast. But you're saying, you know, have a fruit bowl.
Sure.
Go in there, instead of putting butter on it, put a little peanut butter on there, And then grab a piece of fruit, and that's fine.
And you're good.
Yeah, it's just, it's we're so rushed. I mean, we really are rushed. Now, give me the perfect, and I want to ask this for personal reasons as well, because I'd love to start waking up early and have breakfast for my daughter done before she leaves for school.
Mm-hmm.
She might actually, if she might keel over dead from heart attack because I'm up making it. But it would really surprise to do that for her and my wife. Give me the perfect, the 100% perfect breakfast that someone should make for their child. Like if I'm a billionaire and I'm living in the high rise in New York City or whatever, and my child, what are those kids eating when the cook wakes up and makes them a really good meal.
If only, because they have
all the time in the world,
right,
you know.
Right. I would say you're looking at, again, your protein source. So maybe the cook is making them the egg component.
Right.
You're slicing up maybe even an omelet. Okay. So you're putting some peppers in there.
Right.
You're adding in some cheese in there. You might have a piece of whole grain toast on the side.
Right.
We talked about the peanut butter. You're getting a fruit option in there. You're going to add some dairy in there. So a glass of milk, low-fat skim milk. Be careful on the orange juice because we got some added sugars coming in there.
Right.
So if we're keeping kind of that component to the side. But you're going nutritionally balanced, not the pastries, not the donuts.
Not a bowl of sugary cereal.
Right.
And an omelet. Boy, an omelet's great. Mm. A nice omelet. Bacon. Is bacon good?
Sure. If you're looking for lean sources, there's turkey bacon out there. I personally love it. That's a good source to add in bacon.
So a little omelet, but this would be the perfect meal. Omelet, bacon, piece of toast, maybe some peanut butter, whatever. That's something that if you, it was an ideal situation, that's what you can make. So knowing that, people, now we can look at these, you know, to make it in a quicker way. What is something that can equal that? And we found out yogurt's good, fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Remember those things. So with number one is start the day with breakfast. So we've got that one, right?
Yes.
Let's get to a number two. What would number two be in that?
So number two, I would suggest starting the day with breakfast, but then number two, eating the well-balanced diet throughout the day. So you've got your breakfast going for the day. You've got the start to the day right, but you've got to add the rest of the components in to nutritionally balance your day. So you've made it through the morning. They're at school. They've been able to get through the morning announcements. The focus is there. And then 11 o'clock or so, it starts to wear off. So you've got to get that lunch in there, too. A lot of times kids will skip lunch. They want to go outside to recess quickly, or maybe they don't like what they're having and they didn't bring a lunch from home.
But the schools are going out of their way to try to come up with healthy options. It's no longer like, and it's a shame, it's no longer like when I was a kid and they would slop some type of mashed potato contraption with fried chicken and, you know, stuff like that.
It's different.
It's not different. They
have, do a good job.
You know. They actually have hummus at schools.
Yes.
When I was growing up, they would have fired the cooks if they started making hummus.
Right. Different times.
But
right.
now they are.
Yes.
So can we trust the schools to prepare the meal that we want the kids eating? And what if the kid doesn't like the stuff they're preparing? How do we maybe give them something from home to put in a brown paper bag to take the place of that.
Right. I think the schools, like you said, I think they've done a lot better over time. So I think they're doing a great job of providing those options. I think where we as parents step in is we're educating our kids. What do you need to feel full and to feel your best? So we're educating them on like what protein is. So they're going up to the lunch line and seeing their options, and they know, they've heard mom or dad or grandma say protein. Okay, well, meat's protein. So maybe I'll grab some meat today. Or they know that they're going to offer a fruit or a vegetable. So they're going to grab one of those and take it on their tray also. They know that maybe they're going to have a dessert, but they're also going to balance that out with some cottage cheese and yogurt, for example. So I think educating them as parents on what they need to pick from what's available would be a good place to start. And then packing your own lunch. I mean, you've got the resources at your hand.
It is, and depends on how old your kid is, too. I know that when my daughter was in grade school and a middle school, that your choice is basically, here's what they're providing, there's your choice. Now she's in high school, and there's everything.
Right.
And she has the option to just grab whatever she wants, which on one hand is cool because you know she's going to eat something.
Mm-hmm.
But the other hand, you do worry about, I hope she's making the correct choice in what to eat, because it does seem like there's a lot of the pizza-based options and a lot of things like that for our kids. So we advise our kids to pick, as you said, maybe some kind of maybe a piece of meat.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than going every day for, give me the giant pizza with everything and a ding dong, or a ho ho, and you know, because I know when it was me, boy, I know what I picked the wrong things, obviously, but I mean, nobody told me what not to pick.
Sure,
I'm just wondering, our advice to the kids for their to help them eat, follow these seven steps. Let's take a break and come back and go over what the advice is that we tell our kids that have a choice on how to pick that. And we also got, well, we also have five more steps as well. So don't go anywhere. I'm sorry, I guess we'll have four more after this, right? No, five more after this. So let's talk about that. Excuse me. Obviously, we need to do something on math. We'll talk about that when we get back. It's Ask the Expert on WTAX.
Welcome back to Ask the Expert on News Radio 1240 and 107.5 FM WTAX. Brought to you by Memorial Health System. Our phone lines are open at 753-1240. That's 753-1240. Now, Ask the Expert on News Radio 1240 and 107.5 FM, WTAX.
We are back talking about the seven ways to fuel your child's brain. And our expert is Sherry Harrison, a pediatric program coordinator for the Center for Healthy Families at Memorial Medical Center. And Sherry, I don't know if you've noticed, but when you're explaining these things, I'm trying to also go from our decision making as parents, but also the children. And I do this now because as my child's getting older, there are a lot of people who also, I mean, we all have children that get older. Mm-hmm. And so when we're younger, we're very focused on what we do, blah, blah, blah. But as our kids get older and they start doing it for themselves, I do like parents knowing how to teach your kids what those options would be. So we're on number one was start the day with breakfast. Number two, eat a well-balanced diet. We're now talking about lunch, which is something that the kids, when they go to school, they're responsible for what they eat mm-hmm. themselves. So how do you talk your kid into doing that? Because they have the choice to get certain things. Walk me through explaining to your child. I know that these really delicious, tasty things are available that you love, but there are also things that taste fine and they're good for you. Mm-hmm. How do we tell them to eat that instead of, say, the snack food, you know, two bags of chips and a Hostess thing and do that? How do we explain that to them?
I think a lot of it starts at home. So at home, you're providing nutrition education. You're saying, here's what a protein is. Here's what a fruit is. Here's what a vegetable is. Here's an example of a grain. Here's what a dairy is. And here's what a fat food is. And it's sugar treat. So if you're incorporating all of that into your education at home, it's eventually going to be up to them to choose what's out there. So you're starting younger. You're saying, we eat a variety of foods because that's what our body needs to feel good. That's how we fuel our bodies. That's how we charge our bodies up to go for the day. A lot of times the kids can relate to like the charging their phones or their tablets. So you're charging your body for the day. If you're not all the way charged, you're not going to perform as well. So I think you start that at home. And then as they're going over time, your kids are seeing you making those choices at home. You're providing that food on the table, and maybe you're choosing some lean meat options and some vegetable options, but you're maybe also having a dessert option. You're just doing maybe one cookie instead of two or three or four, whatever the case might be. So getting that education at home and letting them see that over the years, and then when it's time for them to go up and pick their choices, maybe at lunch, high school, junior high, whatever the case might be, they're able to say, okay, I know I feel best when I'm eating a variety of things, not right. just a certain thing.
I like the way that you said, rather than approach it, listen, you don't want to get fat, you don't want to do this, so eat this, but you're saying, hey, we got to fuel our bodies. Mm-hmm. This is how it works. And in order to get the most productivity out of our own self, this is the type of thing you need to eat. And we're not telling them specifically eat this and this.
Right.
Let it be their choice. I really like that. That seems mm-hmm. that seems much better than sitting your child down or saying, when you go to school, do not get this and don't get this and don't get that.
Yes. Because they're going to go right for it.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I'm thinking me. That's going to be the first thing I'd get.
Right. Right.
If they said, I do not want you grabbing this, I'd be like, oh, man, I can't wait for that. That's right. Now I want it.
Exactly.
That must be really good.
Exactly.
So I like the way that people do that. All right. Let's get on to number three when it comes to the seven ways to fuel your kid's brain. Number three is what?
Number three, I put as challenging their minds.
Mm-hmm.
And that can mean a lot of things. I think we need to keep our kids' minds actively engaged without overdoing it. And what I mean by that is don't overbook them to where they've got 15 things on their agenda every day where they don't get a break at all. Because then it becomes kind of a status symbol for the parents even. Oh, we have this activity and we have this part and this. giving them a chance to challenge their mind and learn different things and keep their mind active. And I kind of equate that to if you're going, you take the same way to work every day, your mind kind of zones out, you go on autopilot, and you you're there before you know it. But if you take a different way, you start noticing that there's some trees there that have always been there, but you've never noticed. Right. And you've noticed some different landmarks that maybe you didn't realize. Same kind of thing. So like for kids, we're talking about maybe, you know, getting them to do like word searches or crossword puzzles. They can do it online. It's fine. Different activities that are going to keep them engaged, maybe learning music or even a musical note or two or three, a different couple words in a different language, just something to kind of help them think outside of the box instead of just kind of going on that autopilot, keeping your mind engaged.
Yeah, I like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I notice, boy, you talked about people being scheduled and overscheduled, you know, especially in the summers and, you know, fall and springs. There are kids that are into so many activities. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are people right now that are playing some form of baseball or softball, mm-hmm. also doing soccer,
right.
and also practicing for basketball, or they're in this club or this thing or, mm-hmm. You know, and I'll see, and I used, you know, when I coached a softball, I don't coach anymore, but when I coached a softball, I'd see that. And I also saw the parents that, and this is what I liked, is they constantly had coolers of different fruit or mm-hmm. Healthy drinks, whatever, to constantly give, one of the mothers would be like orange slices, just slices of stuff mm-hmm. to keep them, you know, fueled yes. during the games or in between games and stuff like that. So, and then they're like, yeah, after this, we got to go head in the car. We got to go over to this practice, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So I saw them, they would bring things for kids to eat, but yes. they also found ways to keep the kids engaged in just, now it's time to learn this sport, now it's time to learn that sport, now it's time to learn that. Mm-hmm. And it does seem to make some of the kids that had parents do that, they really were just bright, bright kids. Mm-hmm. That, you know, you sure. can tell that there was something positive going on there. I've also seen the other way where the whole life is just rush, 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 right. and there's no time, there's no stopping,
right.
which I think is also just my opinion.
No, I think you're right. Bad for the kid. You're finding yeah. your balance. You know, you yeah. know your kids the best. So if your kids thrive on those continued activities, that's okay. As long as you're getting in some chance for them to have right. some what we call chill time, just cool down time, yeah. just relax time. Maybe it's in the car on the way to and from, but they're not actively engaging in something. But maybe they're using their mind in a creative way. So maybe in the cars to and from, they're reading a book. Or maybe they're right. looking at the word search puzzles, or younger kids, like the dot-to-dot books or the color by number. You know, just something kind of keep their mind going. It doesn't have to be physical all the time.
Right. Mm-hmm. I tell you, though, I marvel at – there are some amazing parents out there who have multiple kids and find a way to make all of this work. It, it is mm-hmm. – it is. I'm amazed. By, I have one kid.
Right.
And it's amazing for my wife and I to find, you know, to just find time to get her to do this, this, and this.
Yes.
And yet you see these people with, you know, like four or five kids and somehow they're doing it,
yes.
you know.
They're structuring and they're planning, kind of yeah. like what we talked about earlier. Structuring
it's
and planning.
It's amazing, yeah.
That's where your success is at.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's get to mm-hmm. Number four on the list of the, where we're moving along. I like this. The seven ways to fuel your kid's brain. Talk to me about, you know, we've talked about the actual physical fueling of our bodies. You got into the mental, you know, challenging. What is, number four?
So number four I put as making time to have creative play or free time play. And it relates to what we were just talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot. So what we were just talking about is kind of keeping your mind engaged, keeping your mind activated and engaged in what you're doing.
Yeah.
This time we're talking about some kind of structured downtime or that chill time right. or the free time. So maybe they're drawing. Maybe they're painting. Maybe they're building something with Legos or blocks. Or maybe they're listening to music. Maybe they're just kind of doodling. Or maybe they're just looking out the window at the trees. So kind of letting your mind just go. You need that time. Because your mind isn't built to go nonstop all the time, all the time.
So it's like it's those times when you're not learning. I don't know the words I'm saying. But a lot of times kids are being pressured. Learn this. We've got to develop this. Blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
There's
yes.
just sometimes, okay, now. No, right. just enjoy. There's
right.
no learning. Just enjoy nature
yes.
or you know, Even would this be a good, like, even put a DVD on or something? I mean, is that under this?
Just kind of the mindless activities that right. you're going to get through your day. Yeah. So to having that time, if you're the parents earlier, they were talking about having all the games and the activities yeah. and sports. That's not a bad thing. Make sure they've got that downtime too.
To just relax.
Just
yeah.
chill. Just to relax. Be creative. Like, you'll talk, little kids will do like the role playing activity. You know, there's Superman and Batman on the playgrounds or whatever.
Yeah.
Let them be creative because that fuels a different part of your brain.
Right.
To make the whole person.
We've mm-hmm. talked about fueling the body. We've mm-hmm. talked about fueling the brain. Now we'll figure out what is next. How are we going to keep fueling our child's brain? What makes it all come together? We've talked about how important it was to get food in the body, how to relax that brain, how to get that brain focused, different things like that. We'll figure out what we're getting to after the news, which we do right now on Ask the Expert. My expert is Sherry Harrison, pediatric program coordinator for the Center for Healthy Families at Memorial Medical Center. And we are talking those 7 ways to fuel your kid's brain. More after the news on WTAX.
You're listening. Welcome back to Ask the Expert on News Radio 1240 and 107.5 FM WTAX. Brought to you by Memorial Health System. Our phone lines are open at 753-1240. That's 753-1240. Now, ask the expert on News Radio 1240 and 107.5 FM, WTAX.
Fueling your kid's brain. We're not just talking about keeping your kids effective at school. And we're talking about helping them develop habits that will help them for the rest of their lives. And it's an amazing thing that every parent would like to do for their child. Unfortunately, reality gets in the way of that. Our expert today is Sherry Harrison, the pediatric program coordinator for the Center for Healthy Families at Memorial Medical Center. Sherry, you've given us 4 of them so far. Number 1, start the day with breakfast. Number 2, eat a well-balanced diet. Number 3, challenge your child's mind. Don't bog down their mind you have to do this, have to blah, blah, blah. Also make sure that it's not just the same thing, that there's some variety in there, and then make time for free play, which I loved. That's what I stressed, which is just doing things that are fun, but there's not a lot of thought involved. It's a lot of relaxation time. We're now up to number 5 for our 7 healthy way, or 7 ways to fuel your kid's brain. And what's 5?
5 I put as getting regular exercise.
Ah, there we go.
Here it is. So most of your resources are going to say that they're recommending for kids to get about 60 minutes of moderate exercise per day.
Hmm.
So exercise could be riding bikes, swimming, playing, walking, playing on the playground, shooting some hoops with your friends after school.
Right. Walking the dogs
absolutely.
Is a form
the
of
dog
exercise.
Likes to go too.
Yeah.
But just getting that exercise in, because as you're doing that, you're stimulating not only your body, but your mind. You're forming those connections in your brain that are liking that exercise and you're feeling good. So you start having an increased mood. You feel better about yourself, kind of an upbeat mood. You're just kind of feeling better, just better.
Well, they always talk about endorphins. Now, I'm not sure what endorphins are, but I know that when I do, when I work out, and my version of workout is not lifting massively sized weights in the gym. Mine is I have a treadmill,
mm-hmm.
and I have a few weights, an elliptical. So mine is basically just getting on the treadmill while I'm watching a documentary on mm-hmm. Netflix.
Sure.
And until I'm sweating profusely.
Mm-hmm.
And then my knees, I can't do that long. I jump off, and then I sit down, and I do these curls and different arm exercises with low weights, and then I get back on the treadmill. But this show isn't about me, but I'm just giving an example of my working out. And when I'm done, my brain is so, I can't even explain what it is, and I don't know if these are endorphins or what it is that gets us like that, but you feel so amazing
mm-hmm.
when you finally are done and you're breathing hard, and when the heavy breathing sort of stops, there's this amazing charge you get.
Yes.
Where you're like, wow, I'm ready to take on anybody and anything and any task and blah, blah, blah. It's that should be enough to drive you to want to exercise every day. I don't. I wish I could. Or I wish I did. I know I can. I just choose not to. What is that that's happening to our brain when we get that feeling?
I think it's what you said. The beta endorphins are just kind of kicking in, and your brain's saying, hey, this feels pretty good. I feel good about this. You keep going through your exercise regimen. You stop and you feel good. People like to feel good when they do something. You feel a sense of accomplishment. And you think, okay, I can do that again. And I think it seems goes with the kids. You know, the kids don't have to be in a gym lifting weights, working out. You know, it can just be any kind of activity that's kind of getting them stimulated and getting their bodies moving to where they get that, okay, I can do this. I can go back in and study for my test now, or I can go back in from recess and focus on my next class assignment. It's just a way to refresh them throughout the day. Right. Sometimes we talk about like taking a brain break and getting some movement. Get up, stir around, walk around, get some movement going. When you sit back down, you're able to focus in better.
When people jog or, you know, I talked about the treadmill, but when I do that, I'm not just alone with my thoughts. I always have headphones in where I'm listening to music or I'm watching. Like I said, I choose to watch like sports documentaries on Netflix. And don't get me wrong, I'm not on there very long. My knees will not allow me to be on there for 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. I can only do so long at a time before the pain, you know, takes over. But it does do, I'm not thinking about anything when I'm doing this. In fact, sometimes you forget you're doing it, which is, that's the best because it flies by. Sure. But it does do something to our brain to where we just feel real. You know what I equate it to, and unfortunately I choose the other option, a good nap.
Yes.
You know, sometimes you get that good nap and you wake up and you're like, oh man, I feel great.
Yes.
I get that sometimes after, or most of the time after exercising.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, I wish I could choose the exercise rather than the nap. But I mean, you know, but maybe I'm past the time of doing this, but our child, we would like our child to choose the exercise.
Sure.
How do we get them into that?
I think just offering that education early and telling them why it's important to have the exercise component in there. So instead of preaching and saying you have to do this, you have to get in X amount of minutes, it's making it fun. A nature hike counts. So that's fun. They get to be the field guide. They get to point things out, but you're still getting that movement in there. So making it creative, like a game at recess, those are fun ways that you're still exercising. You're still refueling your brain. And they're thinking, that was a fun way. I like that. That was a good game. And I feel good. And I can focus on my next assignment at school.
It would be not, I mean, I would like to find a way to have, you know, when your kid just automatically does it at home, like they're home from school. You're like, oh, what are you going to do? You know what? I'm gonna get on the treadmill for a little bit or whatever. And if I ever bring anything like that up to my kid, and there's a lot of parents that are gonna have this problem when they have older kids, my daughter will say, "Oh, this is I'm stressed or this or I feel depressed." But I will sometimes say, "Hey, I had a guest on for Ask the Expert, and they said, you know, a little bit of exercise would do." Mm-hmm. And I suggest it, and she automatically thinks, "Oh, that I'm making it up, that I'm somehow." Trying to, and I'm like, I don't care what, I'm not, you're doing what you want. I'm just saying that these are the things that we have talked about.
Yes.
And the child is untrusting. She somehow thinks I'm up to no good. How dare you suggest I exercise? What's a good way to get through to our child with stuff like that?
You know, what we found, an activity that's been helpful to deal with exactly what you're saying, is creating some kind of in your home, like an activity bucket or an activity basket, to where you and your kids are sitting down ahead of time, maybe on a weekend, you've got some downtime, and you're creating all kinds of activities on a piece of paper or a popsicle stick or however you're going to do it. And they're going into this basket or this bucket. So the next time they're feeling stressed and they come home and they say, oh, I've just had a rough day. You say, hey, remember that activity bucket that we created together? Because that's their buy-in, right? They did it together. Why don't you go pick something out of there and we'll do it? Or you can do it. You know, let me know how it does. So then there's resources there. They don't have to come up with it on the spot. It's already things that they have found meaningful during a non-stress time.
Right.
They can go to that, pick that out, do it on their own if they're older, younger as a family, and that becomes a resource for them to go to, and it's getting the exercise there. So maybe they want to take a walk around the block with you. Maybe they want to go walk the dog. Maybe they want to wash the car.
I get, like, my daughter has speech team practice after school, and then she immediately comes home and starts doing homework.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always saying, let's break that up. Let's get something to do in there.
Yeah.
And I tell you, they do feel, or she does feel, and I'm guessing other kids do too, like somehow you're trying to trick them into doing something.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so focused on getting all the homework done and stuff.
Sure.
So just a way to break that up would be nice. Maybe just grab some of the little, you know, you don't have to do it long. Just do something else in between. I understand. She's like, listen, I got to get this done, and then I got to do this. We got to eat. I got to get to bed. So I understand that life is busy for teenagers. Mm-hmm. It was busy for me when I was a teenager. But somehow saying, just jump on the elliptical for 5 minutes. I was anything.
Sure.
help them out. So, and then I think that's something that we have to do as parents. Unfortunately, the kids aren't always trusting.
Right.
But when they're younger, and here's my point.
Yes.
When I was younger, if I would have found a way to make this something we naturally did, mm-hmm. I think now as a high schooler, my daughter wouldn't be so hesitant to give it a shot.
Right. It's incorporating in early
right,
in life.
Yeah.
You know, it's establishing whatever that is going to be in your family early in life. So when they get to high school, it's not maybe mom or dad saying, oh, you should go do this. They know when they're stressed that exercise helps. They know that walking 10 minutes or maybe just doing a lap around the house if it's wintertime out and they can't get outside. They know that that's helpful for them because they've done it and it's been successful.
So maybe when the kids are doing homework after school when they're in grade school,
mm-hmm.
maybe say, hey, guys, break time. Go outside and play.
Sure.
You know, stop. Put down the pencils and go mm-hmm. outside. Give us five. Go out there for like 15 minutes and play. Yep. And then maybe they'll start to understand. I mean, sure. I wish I would have mm-hmm. done.
And I think you're incorporating that already. That's how schools are set up, right?
Mm-hmm.
They go through some academics and then they take a break.
Right.
They go outside. They go through some more academics and it's lunchtime. They take a break. So that break in the day is helpful and it's already built in as part of their day. And if
mm-hmm.
you're going with the activity bucket, they've already got resources there. You don't have to come up with it on the spot or you're Googling something to try to figure out what to do. It's there. They can do it. Boom, 10 minutes, you're back and you're moving on.
Number six on our list of the seven ways to fuel your kid's brain.
Number six I put out as limiting your kid's screen time.
Oh, so you're talking about the thing my daughter actually does in between homework.
That's right.
Which
right.
is watch Netflix or TV or,
yes.
or something.
Yes. I'm saying it's not a bad thing, and it's part of society. We're not going to get away from it. It's not going anywhere. The American Academy of Pediatrics suggests that kids are incorporating about 7 hours of screen time into their day total.
Wow.
So that's TV time in the morning, school times. Maybe they stayed for a noon recess, and there's been a movie playing, just some kind of on their phones or their tablets,
right.
7 hours. So that's a long time during someone's day.
Yeah.
So limiting that in a sense that if you're going to use it, provide some quality content on there. So maybe you're not just kind of zoning out to the next episode that's in the series that you're watching. That's not a bad thing sometimes. But limiting that, getting some learning apps on there, maybe to keep your kids' mind engaged. Or we mentioned earlier, some structured free time, get some drawing apps on there. You know, if you're
yeah.
going to use the screen, get the quality content. And it's okay to watch movies. That's okay. But you're limiting that. You're not watching 9 hours of movies in a day. Maybe you're watching like one or two. Then you're getting your homework done on the weekend. Maybe then you're taking a walk.
So taking a little time to play Fruit Ninja or Pokemon, whatever they're playing,
yes.
isn't always a bad thing.
Right.
By the way, that Pokemon Go,
yeah.
my uh-huh. daughter will actually get up and and that's an amazing
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, that's been a game changer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, she actually gets off her butt and,
yep.
and my wife is into it. Somehow she's into
right.
it.
Right. Right.
And they'll leave, and I'll be, where are you going?
Right.
Oh, we
got
to go get a whatever it is.
Yeah,
I don't know what
right.
the Pokemon are.
I don't know
are.
Either. but yeah.
They
got to
go catch a Velociraptor
something.
Or whatever,
yeah.
a Ballista, whatever, a Manischewitz. I don't know what the names of the things right. are they're trying to capture.
Right.
But they'll go park the car, and they'll actually walk around,
yeah.
and I'll get it, and I'll be like, wow, now that's,
yep.
what an amazing thing that is.
Yeah. So that's monitoring the screen time, right? It's
yeah.
there, we're not getting away from it, but you're using it in a way that's okay. It's,
yeah.
it's getting some activity in there. It's approved content.
So even if it's a game where they're doing where they just sit on the couch, it's still something different from just watching,
mm-hmm.
you know, a television.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can get learning apps in there, but then we're also incorporating the other pieces we've talked about, like the exercise. So there's a lot of apps now that are kind of up and movement apps, or they'll
yeah.
be like brain break apps that you can look at on your phones or your tablets.
Well, I don't know who thought of that, but that was brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant. I want to take a short break, come back. And get into number seven. I think we're actually going to get through. A lot of times I have a numbered things and
uh-huh.
I talk so much. And,
oh, no.
and the guests, we get off on such a tangent that we don't get to all. We're going to get to all of them
That's
today.
Right.
We'll take a break, come back. And our last break will feature number seven in the seven ways to fuel your kid's brain.
You're listening to Ask the Expert on News Radio. Welcome back to Ask the Expert on News Radio 1240 and 107.5 FM WTAX. Brought to you by Memorial Health System. Our phone lines are open at 753-1240. That's 753-1240. Now, ask the expert on News Radio 1240 and 107.5 FM, WTAX.
All right, we are back. My expert, Sherry Harrison, and I are discussing the seven ways to fuel your kid's brain. Number one, start the day with breakfast. You know, when you eat a nice, healthy breakfast, your kid's brain starts, you know, just really in top shape for school, which is important during the school year, but even during the summer. eating a well-balanced diet, another great way to keep your body and your brain fueled. Number three, challenge your child's mind. I really enjoyed that one, giving them, you know, just different ways to be, to have your brain just, anytime it's an inquisitive mode or a fun learning mode, it seems like your brain's really getting a nice little exercise. Make time for free play. Like, there's certainly nothing wrong with taking some time to have your brain just not work in that way, where there's just a relaxation way to do it. Exercise regularly. Healthy bodies and endorphins to your brain and things like that. It's amazing what they can do. Limit the amount of screen time. Let's not make every bit of TV or smartphone or iPad time being mindless attempts at entertainment. And now that was number six. So now we get to number seven of the ways to fuel our child's brain. What do we got, Sherry?
Number seven I put is getting adequate sleep.
A lot of people are fighting this one.
Too many of us don't, and we know it, and we can feel it. And I think when our kids don't get adequate sleep, it starts to wear them down, maybe even sooner than adults.
And now, thank God that adults need alone time at night, and they could, well, especially when they're little kids, and we could put them down to sleep. Okay, 8 o'clock, sleep time. But as they get older, you know, the kids, there's so much left to do that it's impossible. Like, I've got to get all my stuff done before I go to sleep, blah, blah, blah. How do we find times or time to help them? Is that just teaching them time management, or how do we get them to sleep earlier?
I think it's kind of up to the parents, to all of us as parents, to teach good sleep hygiene. So what I mean by that is educating them and saying, you have to have sleep. Here's why. Here's what helps you when you get a good night's sleep. Your day starts off better. You feel more focused. You feel better about yourself. You're not tired. You're not cranky, whatever the case might be. So providing that education to them and then encouraging that. So maybe they're still up and they want to watch the last half hour of the show, or their sports game isn't quite over yet and they still want to stay out for a little bit and, you know, hang out with the friends. Just educating them and saying, you got to get that sleep in because, you know, you've got a big day tomorrow. You know, you've got a big test coming up.
There just comes a time. The good news with regular television is the DVR now exists.
Yes.
When I was a kid, there was no DVR, you know.
Right. They're not going
to
miss it.
You had to watch it then, or you didn't know, or you just didn't know what was going on.
Right.
With the exception of the World Series and things like that, where you had to stay up late. And I'm a Cubs fan, so I didn't have to. The World Series, unfortunately, wasn't necessary when I was a kid.
Right, right.
But still, there's those times where, you know, you want to stay up late and watch the sporting event. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, you know, there's no entertainment keeping you up. It's like you gotta, you just have to have the discipline to say, I just got to go to sleep. I can't.
Right.
I'll tell you, when I got to the age where I was talking to girls on the phone, it's like, oh, I don't care if it's 10:30. I'm not done with the phone call. You know,
right?
And you end up costing yourself a lot of sleep then.
Mm-hmm.
And you look back at it and you go, well, that was actually ridiculous because that relationship was going nowhere. And,
right.
But I'm saying, when you're a kid, these are the things that really end up getting in the way.
Right. And I think that's where parents can step in and say, you know, maybe the tablets or the screens or whatever, they're shut off a half hour before bedtime, so to speak. So you're shutting down, you're winding down, you're getting in your sleep routine, you're getting your screen shut off. Because kids that fall asleep with TV on, we know that they don't sleep as restfully.
But they bring that phone with them, and they're Snapchatting and Instagramming, and they're doing that stuff, and that's keeping them awake as well.
So maybe the phones are turned in before you go to bed. Because mom and dad, most of the time, not always, mom and dad are usually paying that bill.
That requires getting them an actual alarm clock, because a lot of kids are using the alarm clock on their phone.
Go old school, yep.
Yeah. I know my daughter uses her phone, so it's hard to say, hey, give us the phone, when that's how she wakes up in the morning.
Right. Because she's used to it, maybe.
Right.
And I won't even say specific to your daughter, but kids in general, they're used to that.
They've been doing their whole lives, so
But then, you know, back when there weren't phones, we had to use alarm clocks. So maybe they can use their phone up to a certain time, but if you're showing that you need that sleep and you're not getting it, then we're going to set your alarm clock. It does the same thing as your phone.
Yeah. And because kids do have to use alarm clocks. I didn't always use an alarm clock when I was a kid. Sometimes, you know... there was one of us that did it, and they had to wake up the other ones.
Right.
So anyway, well, we learned a lot. We learned a lot. Seven ways to fuel your kid's brain. A kid with a healthy brain is going to be more productive.
Yes.
And that's what I love these tips. Love them. Start your day with breakfast, eat a well-balanced diet, all those different things. Sherry, you were fantastic. She's a
Rob, pediatric program coordinator of the
this
Center for Healthy Families.
Ask the Expert. Thanks, on News Radio 1240 and 107.5 FM WTAX. Brought to you by Memorial Health System. For more information about Memorial Health System, visit choosememorial.org. And join us every Tuesday at 3 for Ask the Expert on News Radio 1240 and 107.5 FM WTAX.
Can't get enough.